Brandon, we're back for another episode.
Finally.
It's been a long time, but we are very, I guess it hasn't been too long, but yes, here we are. We're excited to give everybody a preview of what's happening in this window, which actually really kicks off in earnest tomorrow. Looking forward to, filling out the rest of the World Cup teams. So we're going to talk about that. And then we'll also discuss some qualifying tournaments that are happening in Africa and Asia. And then we may talk briefly about some of the Nations League stuff in CONCACAF and UEFA as well. So that's kind of the rundown. But what game do you want to start with, Brandon?
Let's go to the one that's the first out of the gate, with Scotland and Ukraine.
Tomorrow, yes. All right. So how are we feeling?
It's been a long time coming. Obviously, we talked about this previously, and it was never the intention to play this match in June. But Scotland and Ukraine have both been forced to wait to play this one. Scotland is hosting. I have a difficult time seeing them losing at home. I think maybe thinking about this match for a few extra months is not the best thing, but Scotland's a team that looked really strong throughout qualifying. They have the advantage of playing at home. What do you think? Do you like Scotland? Do you like Ukraine?
I think this is actually a very even matchup, if I'm being honest. Having a look at the squads right now, there's not a ton of names that are really popping out to me as somebody who perhaps is, a huge difference maker. I think both teams have some really good players. I think you're right. I think for Scotland, having that home field advantage is big. But then on the Ukraine side of things, I think they'll have a chip on their shoulders. Yeah. They're representing their country, which is going through a very difficult time right now. The thing that worries me the most about Ukraine is the lack of game time and in-form players, right? Because a lot of their squad is composed of players who play in Ukraine. And with the league basically being canceled because of what's going on there and the conflict, I'm just not sure how match fit, these players are going to be. And there's a lot that goes into that, right? Not just necessarily the physical side, but the mental side as well. They've kind of gone on a little bit of a tour, to try to get some matches in, but, I'm not sure that that's going to necessarily do the trick. So yeah, it's a real toss up. Excuse me. I'm dealing with something.
I agree. I think Ukraine, disregarding everything else that's going on, just purely based on quality, I think you can make the argument they're as good, if not even better than the Scotland team. I think playing on the road and agreed, not having that match fitness. Yes, a lot of the Scotland players also are just, concluding their seasons. They're at the end of a long season, but I do think playing at home and at least, having that more recent experience, I tend to lean towards Scotland in this match.
Yeah, I will go with that as well. Although just for the sake of almost for the sake of just being different, I kind of want to go with Ukraine just because I do think, they have a cause that they're playing for. And I think it will give them an opportunity to rally, but yeah, I just have a really hard time overlooking that home field advantage. And yeah, it's going to be a good game. I think it'll probably be low scoring if I'm being honest. There's definitely a chance of penalties, so we will see, but it should be a very good match. The atmosphere will be outstanding. So if for no other reason to tune in, you should definitely tune in for that.
Absolutely. And so that takes place tomorrow on Wednesday. The winner on Sunday heads to Cardiff to play Wales for a spot at the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Wales will beat whoever they play? Do you think it matters who they play? Do you think Wales has no shot against who they play? What do you think about what Wales is up against and what their thoughts are? Because their match was postponed also. These matches were both supposed to take place in March. Wales played their first match, moved on to the final. They've been idle and waiting. Now this other team that comes into Wales and is going to play them is going to be coming fresh off of a win, a big win where they just knocked another team out of World Cup qualifying.
Right.
What do you think about that match on Sunday?
Yeah, so I think Wales is going to come out of this. I think I've thought that from the beginning. You and I both have had several discussions, you know, about this, but now that the time is here, I really like where Wales is at. And again, I think that that home advantage is going to be big for them. And, you know, they have a quality squad. You know, if you look at all three of these teams together, I would venture to say that Wales probably has the best one, at least on paper, out of all of them.
I think I agree with that.
Yeah. So, you know, and with Wales as well, you have a world-class player in Gareth Bale, right, who can turn the game on its head in an instant. Whereas, you know, I'm not sure that you can say the same for Scotland and Ukraine. So,
yep.
Yeah, I'm liking Wales at this moment in time. What about you?
Yeah, I feel the same. I think that in a neutral venue among these three teams, I'd probably pick Wales. And so add to that the fact that they are playing at home as well. They got that draw was huge, you know, as we saw in March with the teams qualifying. That draw to see who played at home was massive. And Wales got that advantage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now they're going to be, I think, a little bit more fresh. I like them. I think they finally get back to the World Cup. You know, it's been a long time. It's been since 1958, since Wales has been to the World Cup. And so, you know, I think this is the year that they finally break through and make it. You know, Gareth Bale is going to be 33 over the summer. You know, even if they make a World Cup beyond this year, not sure he's going to play. Aaron Ramsey's going to be 32. You know, two guys that have been around the Wales squad for a very long time and have been huge contributors to their success. So I think they're going to be playing with also a little extra edge, knowing that this might be the last chance for a couple guys that have been, you know, even, you know, Wayne Hennessy and you know, Joe Allen, a lot of these guys have been around for a long time with Wales. And, you know, I think they're going to feel really in that, you know, this is it for us. So I think they get it done. I think we see Wales qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Aaron Ramsey, you know, it's interesting. And I think a positive that his move to Rangers has really worked out well for him, mm-hmm. You know. You know, he was looking for that playing time. He was looking for an opportunity to be sharp, you know. Wasn't necessarily getting, I think, what he was looking for at Juventus. And so, yeah, I think that's been positive. And I would not be surprised at all to, you know, to see him play a key role in the game for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's some other players in that Wales has as well that, you know, are, you know, very good players. You know, you've got Kiefer Moore, you know, Daniel James, you know, just, you know, they have options,
yeah.
You know, and that's a positive thing. So yeah, that's, you know, I think we're both pretty set on Wales,
yeah.
But the great thing is that, you know, you just never know. I mean, these are one-off games.
They
so
are.
It's.
They are. I remember recently, North Macedonia, maybe.
Yeah.
knocking out Italy. So,
there you go.
You know, you're right, though. These are one-off games. And, you have 90 minutes and that's it. And you don't have any opportunity. There's no margin for error. It's one match. And especially when it's one match to go to the World Cup, anything can happen. And I think, you know, teams could play cautious. They could be a little more aggressive. We'll see. But yeah, it could go either way. I'm going to stick with Wales, but you know, Scotland and Ukraine both certainly have a pretty good opportunity to get there themselves.
Yep. And of course, whoever comes out of this is going to be in the same group as, you know, our nation, the United States. Yeah. So we have double interest in these matches, I suppose.
Absolutely.
So it should be, you know, it'll definitely be entertaining. So,
we'll talk about that in the future pod. But
that's right.
Just out of curiosity, which of these teams would you most like to see in a group with the U.S.? And which of these teams would you least like to see in a group with the U.S.?
Actually, so my boss is from Scotland. So I would say Scotland would be the one that I would most like to see.
Yeah.
Because for personal reasons, that would make it all the more interesting. I think the team that I would least like to see, I don't know if I have one. I'm not sure. I'm hugely excited for really any of these three teams. Wales maybe, but I don't know. Scotland doesn't get my blood boiling too much, and Ukraine doesn't really either. So that's a difficult question. What about you?
I think that selfishly, obviously, you know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, what's coming in Qatar, but I would love to party with either the Wales or the Scotland fans in Qatar. That would be a great time. From a USA, you know, quality advancing performance, I think the US matches up pretty well with all three of these teams, honestly. I don't think there's one outstanding, you know, superior team. Like, you look back at a Portugal that was in the playoffs, and had this been reversed, and, you know, now Portugal's the last team, the unknown, you know, I think that might have been a different story. I don't think any of the three teams are going to necessarily be favored over the U.S. So we'll see. I think all three of the teams would be interesting matchups. I think they're all relatively close in quality, as we just said. But I think, you know, seeing Wales or Scotland in the group, I think would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, I'm just excited to be back.
Absolutely. At the World Cup.
So
now we can have these discussions of, you know, we talk for so long about how many things could go wrong and how many different situations happen. Now that it's done, you know, we can look forward to this and be excited about whoever we get.
That's right. Yep. Cool. Well, yeah. So there you have it. That's UEFA. How about we hop over to, well, where do you want to go next?
Let's just go in chronological order. So those two matches are going to play Sunday. Will be, you know, that winner is going to punch their ticket to the World Cup. 2 days later on Tuesday, we have the semifinal match. So Australia and UAE are going to play on Tuesday. And then the following Monday, all the way until the 13th of June. And so it's kind of stretched out in terms of qualifiers over 2 weeks. The winner gets Peru. And both of these matchups are in Qatar. But first on Tuesday, we have Australia against UAE. So what are your thoughts about this AFC semifinal?
I'm worried that it's going to be a snooze fest, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, Australia tended to do that a bit towards the end of qualifying. They were not that great.
Yeah. And yeah, I just don't know if they're going to be able to pick themselves up for this, you know. It's interesting. UAE actually has a player. I think his name is pronounced Mabkut. He's 31 years old, but he has scored 79 goals for UAE over 103 matches. I mean, that is pretty incredible. But you know, it's kind of the story that we've said for a while, right? Australia has a lot of players who play, you know, overseas. UAE does not. They don't have anybody in their squad. They're all domestic based. That for me, excuse me, is a concern. But on the other hand,
it's a concern for who?
For UAE.
Okay.
It's a concern for me for UAE. They did show in qualifying, you know, that there is some quality there. It's not going to be a walk in the park for Australia by any stretch of the imagination, I don't think. With this game being on neutral ground, and particularly in a climate where a lot of these UAE players are going to be already, you know, acclimatized to it, I just wonder if that will give them some sort of advantage.
Yeah, and that's a good point too, because, you know, we're talking about the World Cup and how that's exciting and it's going to start in November. But they moved it from June because of the weather, because it was so hot. That was one of the main reasons, if not the main reason,
right.
why this World Cup is taking place in November instead of in June. You look at the weather in Qatar right now, it's 110 degrees Fahrenheit. It's whatever that conversion is, 40, 45 degrees Celsius. I mean, that's
insane.
That is hot.
Yeah.
That is really, really hot. And I think that that's a great point. How a lot of these UAE players all playing domestically, they may have, you know, a bit of an advantage there, understanding the heat and you know what to expect.
Yeah, and how to manage it, right? Yeah,
I'm concerned about Australia. I think that they should be favored. Our rankings have them higher. We have the UAE all the way down at number 91 in our rankings. Australia is higher. They're not super high, but they're at 56 in our rankings. I don't think that Australia is that much better than the UAE or should be favored by that much at this point. I was a little bit more bullish on them at the beginning of qualifying, but they had a lot of opportunities to really make it a contest and push for one of those top two spots. They almost finished fourth. You look at where they finished and where Oman was right behind them, they almost finished fourth and didn't even make the playoffs. And so I'm really concerned that, you know, they beat up on a lot of teams in the prior round. They started off well and then really, really limped towards the finish. Interestingly, you know, they've been at the last four World Cups and they've got a tough, tough path to get through to get back. I think they can beat the UAE. I would not be surprised if they did not, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm going to go with Australia. You know, I think that the talent there is better than what UAE can offer, but yeah, it's going to be a slugfest. I am going to watch it, of course. But I don't know. I'm excited about it because it's a World Cup qualifier. But if this was me,
you'll have an eye on something, some other match at the same time.
There you go. There you go. Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to go with the Socceroos, and you know, I think they'll deliver. But again, you know, you could definitely see a wrench thrown in that prediction. You know, there are definitely some variables there, some factors there that you know, could swing it in favor of UAE.
Yeah, and so the winner gets Peru.
Winner gets Peru.
Do you think either of these teams can beat Peru?
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that? I took a look before we hopped on here, and I'm looking at it right now, the Peru squad for this. Yeah. And, you know, it's filled with some good players, but I actually think in a neutral venue, that this is going to be a lot more close than a lot of people think it will be. And so, yeah, they've got a friendly against New Zealand on June 5th, which will be a good tune up for whoever comes out of that game, out of the Australia UAE game. But yeah, it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight, but yes, I would give Peru the slight edge. I would.
It's tough to see CONMEBOL teams losing in these inter-confederation playoffs. I think AFC is top heavy and CONMEBOL's got a little bit more depth in the middle.
Yeah.
So you look at a team like Peru that just what they had to do to even get to this point, they had to win a lot of tough matches, play a lot of tough teams. I think it's going to be hard to see Peru not win this. I think I might feel a little bit differently if I had a bit more confidence in some of the other teams. I don't really have much confidence in either Australia or the UAE, whoever does win that. And for me, I would have a very difficult time seeing Peru not make it.
Yeah. Yeah. This game actually is probably the one that I'm most excited for, you know, coming out of this, you know, the World Cup qualifiers here. I think it's going to offer a very intense match, a good matchup. You know, I, as I was just saying, I do think these teams are actually more evenly matched than some people might think. You know, on first glance, I think everybody's like, oh, Peru's going to wipe the floor with them, right? And it's true. If Australia shows up in the form that they, you know, left qualifying with, then that's definitely possible. Yep. But you know, if they come out with a different mindset, with maybe a greater drive, greater desire, then yeah, I think it's going to be a very exciting match. So I'm looking forward to this one a lot.
I am as well. I think all of these matches, you know, we're down to our last five World Cup qualifying matches.
Yeah.
I think all of them are going to be fantastic.
Huge implications at stake, right? Like it's all or nothing. And so there's, you know, there's going to be passion, tension, you name it. It's going to be there. So yeah, it's going
to be, it'll really be special. Interesting to see as well, just what happens in these neutral venues in Qatar.
Right.
Does either side get a lot of fans? You know, is it half empty? Is it a neutral venue? Is it skewed towards, you know, one nation or the other?
Right.
I don't know what to expect. I mean, but you can see a huge contingent of UAE fans and turn into a home game. Yeah, right. I don't know what to expect.
And for Peru, I will say, you know, the last World Cup cycle, pretty sure it was the last World Cup cycle, you know, they relied heavily on Paulo Guerrero, right? But he's not even called in.
Yeah.
So he's not an option. They're going to rely on Lapadula. Lapadula has delivered for them all qualifying.
Yes.
Whenever he's been, you know, in the squad, it seems like he's scoring or he's creating chances. So he's going to be key for Peru. And I think, you know, if Australia can find a way to shut him down, I think that will give them a really good chance. But there, but, you know, Peru has other, you know, other players who are dangerous as well, right? Edison Flores, you know, he's, you know, pretty well known. He's a good player. You know, they've got Christian Cueva, Renato Tapia, you know, all these very familiar names, if you followed Peruvian football, that, you know, these are players who can, you know, make a difference. So that basically wraps up, you know, the discussion that we wanted to give to this, you know, qualification sector, if you want to call it a sector, I guess. So what do you think, Brandon, who's coming out of this?
For me, it's Peru. They're, I think, the best team among these three. And yeah, they have, you know, another team that's going to be, again, coming off a win in a geography that they're more familiar with. But I think the quality of Peru is just better. They've played better opposition. And, you know, I definitely expect them to come out of this group of three. What do you think?
Well, I'll probably get disowned by my family if I don't pick Peru, since my uncle Aaron is, you know, his wife is from Peru, and, you know, they're both big Peru fans. So yes, I will go with Peru, but I do think Australia, because I think it will be Australia, and I think Australia is going to give them a fight. You know,
so. I hope so. I would like to see Australia play better. We know they can play better than they did at the end of the last round of qualifying. So
yeah,
hopefully that's the team we see. I think if that is the case, it'll make for a really exciting match against Peru.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because Australia, the way they started World Cup qualification was very good.
We thought they were going to qualify directly.
Yes, exactly. They went off on a flyer, you know, they looked very good, and then it just, you know, the shackles kind of came off, I guess, or however you want to phrase that. Right. And they haven't been able to find that form again. So that's a concern, but they've had some time now. And so we'll see if they can put it together, but you're going with Peru. So
yeah. And so you mentioned this before. So Peru is going to warm up in Qatar against New Zealand,
mm-hmm.
who is also playing for a spot at the World Cup against Costa Rica. And this, I think, is a bit interesting from the perspective of how they're preparing. So New Zealand's playing against Peru, who is, they know they are playing for a spot at the World Cup. They're a great team. I think for New Zealand, that's great opposition, mm-hmm. because the worst thing that happens is you play a team that's probably as good as, if not better than, the team that you are going to play immediately after for a spot in the World Cup.
With a lot of similarities.
Costa Rica, on the other hand, which, you know, we might get into a little bit afterwards, they're playing their CONCACAF Nations League matches before they go to Qatar to play New Zealand. That, yes, there is some time in between, but they are playing in Panama on the 2nd of June.
Yep.
Then they are hosting Martinique on the 5th of June.
Mm-hmm.
Then they need to travel to Qatar and play New Zealand. I don't know if CONCACAF dictated to them that they had to play these matches before, but to me, that's not ideal when you have a one-game match to go to the World Cup, to play those two matches, to go through all that travel right before you have to play New Zealand. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Some of the other reasons or factors that may go into that, right? So over the course of qualifying, especially the back half qualifying, Costa Rica kind of found themselves, and a lot of that, you know, was the discovery of some young players, right? So you've still got a very, I'm going to say, old core of players, which, by the way, Keylor Navas is only going to be playing for them in the game against New Zealand. The other two games in the CONCACAF Nations League, he's not even in the squad. So he's meeting them in Qatar specifically for that game. But so my point is, you know, you have a very, very experienced, but also very aged squad that is going to be, you know, coming off the back end of two, you know, fairly competitive games that that have meaning. You know, it's not just a friendly, you know, that's glorified friendly or however you want to call it for the Nations League, right? And, you know, Costa Rica is going to want to try to reach the latter stages of that as well. It's a good opportunity for them to try to continue to introduce some of these younger guys, get some experience for them. But then also, you know, you've got this core, and it's an aging core. And I am concerned, just like you said, you know, the travel for that older core of players, I think is going to be difficult. You're going to have to find a way to shake off not only the travel from the legs, but also, you know, any game time that they've had and two games leading into that. I think those could all be factors as well. So yeah, I'm not a huge fan of how they've, you know, how Costa Rica is going into this. And if I'm being honest with you, it has actually kind of changed who I think is going to win this. I think that this gives New Zealand a very good shot. And so I'm going to go with them. I'm going with New Zealand. I'm going to go out on a limb.
You want them to send you a kit. That's why you're picking them.
Well, that's true too. That's definitely true too. But no, but I mean, no, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how Costa Rica balances all this. Right. I mean, they started to rely on these younger guys, and these younger guys are hungry, but again, they lack that experience, you know, the experience to be able to manage a game. Right. So who's starting in this scenario? Is he going to go with the old and then bring in the new? And if he does, can those, you know, younger players, those newer players for Costa Rica be able, you know, will they be able to see out the game? Right. Like they put in a pretty good shift against the United States.
Yeah.
I was at home though. In an environment that they were already used to. And it's going to be very different from, you know, a dry, arid Qatar.
Yeah. I like that. I think New Zealand's preparing better than Costa Rica is. I am the side of concern with New Zealand. The biggest concern that I have is the quality of competition they've played. And, you know, they beat up on Oceania, but it wasn't the easiest. Like, they only beat Tahiti 1-0. They only beat Papua New Guinea 1-0. Now you're playing a Costa Rica team that was as hot as arguably any team in the world in World Cup qualifying not too long ago. And so I don't know. This one's, again, I think is going to be another really close one where you have, you know, teams that are, I think it's kind of the reverse from what you're looking at with an Australia and a UAE, where they kind of limped into the playoffs with not a strong performance. I think both New Zealand and Costa Rica, at least from the, just looking at the recent results, are both playing really, really well. And I think that Peru match for New Zealand is going to be a really good test. They also, in between that and the match against Costa Rica, play Oman as well. Oman's a decent team. You know, I think that's a good match for them as well. But yeah, this is another one that's going to be, I think, close. I don't think either team's going to dominate this match. I think I'm going to lean towards Costa Rica and, you know, pick the other side here. But again, all these matches seem really close to me. And so I would not be surprised if this one goes either way.
Yeah. For New Zealand, again, they have a pretty settled core, I would say, right? You've got, you know, Winston Reid, you've got Tui Loma, right? You've got Boxall, you've got Chris Wood, of course, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be key for New Zealand for sure. But that's where New Zealand's going to need to make some adjustments, right? They can't just be one-dimensional through Chris Wood. Otherwise, that's too easy for Costa Rica.
That plays right into their strength. And, you know, Keylor Navas, if you have one guy and, you know, who's not getting great opportunities and you don't have great team play, it's that, I think, I agree. I think you're playing into Costa Rica's strength there.
Yeah. But then the reverse side of that is, you know, New Zealand has been phasing in some guys that, you know, I think given an opportunity and they've had some opportunities, you know, and we'll see, you know, how much the qualifying process helped bring this team together, you know, the friendlies that they've had, right. That, you know, they do have some players on their team who can make a difference, right? Yeah. You know, you've Joe Bell is one of them. You know, I've mentioned him in the past. Yeah, I've been impressed with him. He was playing in Norway. He moved to Denmark. He's at Brøndby, and you know, he played pretty well this you know, basically since January, since he moved there.
Yeah.
And there's a couple other guys like that too that are probably going to have to step up if New Zealand's actually going to do this.
Yeah. And I do like, and I'm like maybe talking myself out of Costa Rica a little bit here, but you know, New Zealand doesn't have that continental tournament. They don't have a CONCACAF Nations League. They don't have a Gold Cup. You know, they don't have a long World Cup qualifying process where the team can gel together and grow. And, you know, this is it. They had a quick few matches in March in Qatar. Yep. They're going back to Qatar. They have a couple friendlies and one match basically to qualify for the World Cup. And I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of hunger from that New Zealand team that just hasn't got a lot of opportunity to show themselves on a national stage yet.
Right. Yep. Yep. All right. So you're going with Costa Rica.
I am, but I may decide to flip to New Zealand before the game actually happens.
There you go.
We'll see how they warm up. I'm tentatively picking Costa Rica.
I'm going to go with New Zealand. You know, I will say again, another thing, I guess, going against New Zealand is that Costa Rica will have Keylor Navas in goal. Right. And, you know, he's definitely in like the top five of goalkeepers in the world. And so, you know, that is advantage Costa Rica for sure.
Yeah.
So
that is it. Five matches to, you know, decide the final three teams that are going to complete the 32 in Qatar and in the end of November. So it will be nice to finally know the full 32 once these matches have concluded this month.
That's right. Yes, for sure. And if anybody knows where I can find the New Zealand kit, please let me know, because I feel like I've exhausted all my resources.
And Joe's been after this kit for so long.
There's no hope now of me having it before the game, I don't think. So that's a real shame. But
if they make it to Qatar, hopefully the production will increase.
There you go. Okay, so yeah, let's switch gears a little bit. We did want to talk about some of the qualifying tournaments that are going on. This is we were discussing beforehand just how, you know, usually the June window, June, July is typically like a tournament, right? But this time it's kind of more qualification depending on where you are in the world. And I think you mentioned that there was something like 300 games going on this window, which
it's going to be a busy month.
It's a yes, yes, for sure. So that you know, that gets our blood boiling, and hopefully, you know, you as the listeners get excited about that too.
Yeah, we've gotten through five matches. We only have 295 to go, so stay tuned.
There you go. And so let's hop over to Africa. We're going to talk, if you can believe it, you know, we just finished AFCON, it feels like, and here we are again, going right back into qualification for the next one.
Indeed. This is what happens when you have a tournament every 2 years and a pandemic. So,
right.
You know, AFCON 23 is going to take place in June. I don't know if they've committed yet to, you know, 25 kind of returning to that January schedule, but it seems like they're more on the path of June, July going forward. I think they're going to keep it in June and July just now. It's going to be hot, as it always is. But it seems like that's the path they're headed down with AFCON. Align it more closely. I know it's in odd years, but align it more closely with, you know, Copa America, Gold Cup, things like that, where those tournaments are taking place in June, July.
Right. Any matchups? I don't know if you have those open in front of you, but any games that catch your eye?
So I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, I talk a lot about the Wii Global Football rankings and, you know, the shortcomings of the FIFA rankings. I will say, I think that the FIFA rankings, it takes time, the way that they have structured it. The biggest criticism that we've had is just the amount of time it takes for teams to move through the rankings. It tends to take a long time because they don't include goal differential in the calculation. With that being said, I do think the FIFA rankings have done a better job of, at a minimum, ordering the teams within a confederation. And what I mean by that is really just when you look at CAF on a standalone basis, when you look at how these teams were broken into pots for the draw. And so you have 12 teams in each pot, 12 groups, 12 groups of four. the top 12 in Africa are Senegal, Morocco, Nigeria, Egypt, Tunisia, Cameroon, Algeria, Mali, Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso, Ghana, Congo, DR. I think it's really hard to dispute any of those teams. I mean, you know, maybe Burkina Faso or Congo DR at the bottom, and, you know, you've got kind of South Africa, Cape Verde, Gabon, Guinea, like right on the border there. But I think that they've done a better job of ordering the teams. And I am answering your question in a long-winded way, but I think, unfortunately, because they have done a better job ordering the teams, I think you will see less upsets. And I think that is something that, I don't know if that's, they necessarily want that, but in theory, you should end up with the best teams in the finals. Whereas if you end up with a group of death, you may not have that case. So I think that the groups are more balanced. The one that stuck out to me as I was going through the groups is Group G, which is Mali, Congo, Gambia, and South Sudan. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Mali and Gambia as well from the last AFCON. And, you know, Congo is a team that, although they were in pot two, I think are, you know, fading a little bit. But really, you know, you look at these groups, you have, again, 12 groups of four. The top two from each group are going to qualify for the finals. To me, the first thing that I look for is who from pot three or pot four can really leapfrog one of those higher ranked teams and qualify. And Gambia is a team for me that, again, sticks out as a team that I think they're on the rise. I think they're one of those teams that kind of got stuck in the FIFA rankings where it's taken them a little bit of time to move. But, you know, they're a team where I would look for them to, you know, maybe leapfrog a Congo and qualify for AFCON.
Wow. Yeah, that's, yeah, interesting. Yeah, so they're, excuse me, they're starting things off against South Sudan, Sudan. Yeah, no, very, very interesting. Like that, very small country, but yeah, they're making some waves in Africa right now, and they're fun to watch. Yeah, just kind of looking through some of these matches, like some of the ones that stick out to me. So you've got Ghana, Madagascar. That should be a pretty good game. Tunisia, Equatorial Guinea. That should be a good one. Ivory Coast, Zambia. Should be a very good game. I can imagine that's, you know, those are two pretty, I'm going to say big, you know, African countries in terms of football going at it. But also, you know, the likes of Burkina Faso against Cape Verde or Cape Verde, right? Like that's, you know, that's basically a matchup. Did we, that wasn't a matchup at AFCON, was it? It feels like it was, but maybe it wasn't.
Those teams frequently end up together.
Yeah, they do. They do. I think maybe that was a round of 16 game, actually.
It may have been.
But, you know, that's a pretty good matchup. DR Congo against Gabon. That's another good one. Mali, Congo, Egypt, Guinea, you know. So, yeah, there's some good games in these early rounds. And, you know, it's a good opportunity for teams to start to kind of bleed in some of these, you know, newer, younger, fresher faces. And it's going to be very interesting to see if there are any nations that kind of start to emerge or change storylines a little bit. You know, as you were alluding to, it's going to be difficult, you know, for kind of a lot of the lower seeded teams. I think their pathway is a little more difficult now, but I'm looking forward to that. And unfortunately, it does not look like those games are going to be on ESPN Plus.
Really?
Yeah, I just had a peek and there's none. There's three games tomorrow and none of them are on there. And
interesting.
So that's a bummer.
We'll have to work through that and figure out how to get those.
That's right. We will find a way.
Yes. There's one matchup that you mentioned that I think, you know, Ivory Coast and Zambia. Mm-hmm. But there's another team in that group in Comoros that also had a strong showing at AFCON.
This is true.
And
they have one of the best kits there too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that, I think that's a really interesting group because, you know, Ivory Coast has already qualified. They're the host.
Right.
And so you basically have two teams playing for one spot. And so that Comoros, Zambia, and, you know, Lesotho's in that group as well. I don't really think they're going to make much noise, but the Comoros, Zambia, they play each other on the 7th of June, next Tuesday in Zambia. I think that's a huge matchup. That to me is one of the groups that sticks out as, you know, again, which of those third, you know, pot three teams can make a move. That to me, I think is going to be a really big matchup. Zambia is a team that, like, for me, they seem to never make noise in World Cup qualifying and always do really well in AFCON qualifying. And I don't know why that is, but I think that's definitely one of the more interesting matchups, is seeing, you know, is Comoros really ready to break through, or is Zambia going to be too much? That's one for me that, I'm going to be really interested in this window.
Hey man, there's no shaking off Pats and Daka. Come on. Like, let's just get real right now.
Yeah, he is. he's an exciting player.
Yes.
He's a name that I think, you know, not a lot of people knew as much, really, kind of maybe before the last 2 years or so. But he's, he's more of a household name now. And, it'll be interesting to see what he can do and how far he can take Zambia, because, you know, as we've seen in Africa, in a lot of different nations, having, you know, a really talented striker can, you know, lift the whole team up.
Yep. Agreed. All right. For me, that covers Africa. Any final words?
No, I think it's, they're basically just real quick in terms of timing, three windows where they're going to play these matches. So the first two matches are going to be played this June. The second two matches will be played towards the end of September. And then the final two matches and the match day will be played in March. And that's it. And so June, September, March, and we will have our 24 for AFCON 23 in next summer.
I love it. I can't believe we're here already. I really can't.
The tournament actually just ended.
Yeah.
It was in January, and we're already up to, you know, qualifying, and the tournament's next summer. So
yeah. I mean, there's already teams that have been knocked out, right? Like Djibouti, yeah. they're knocked yeah. out, like Seychelles, Somalia.
We'll have two finals about 17 months apart.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy, but I love it. It's great.
Absolutely.
All right, let's hop over to Asia then. In a very similar situation, right? So we're at Asian Cup qualification. Asian Cup, coincidentally, I don't know if this is widespread knowledge, but I picked it up the other day. China is not going to be hosting that. Doesn't look like. I'm pretty sure that they have officially removed themselves from being hosts. So it looks like at this moment in time, it's going to hop over to South Korea. That's not confirmed or official, but that's what we're hearing.
And this is a tournament, the Asian Cup, that just with the calendar and how everything's gone, it's been a while since there's been an Asian Cup. The last Asian Cup was in January of 2019. And wow. So the finals are going to be in the summer next year. Again, Asia is another one where, just from a timing perspective in the months, they typically have their tournament in January. Because of the World Cup, they've moved it back to June. And now obviously with the, you know, China withdrawal, and still that to be determined. So it's been a really long time that this has been in the making. The Asian Cup qualifiers and the World Cup qualifiers were the same. So really kind of, it's been out of sight, out of mind for a while for a lot of teams, a lot of people, how, you know, the last round of qualifying, when, you know, it was the World Cup qualifying, those matches took place a long time ago. Not all, you know, they started pr- prior to COVID. Like that round of qualifying started in September of 2019. And we're still going through Asian Cup 23 qualifying here in June of 2022. And there's still a lot of matches to be played. It's not like we're, you know, wrapping things up. There are still a lot of matches to be played. You know, just in terms of format, a number of teams qualified directly in that prior round. So we already have 13 teams qualified for the finals and still 11 spots up for grabs. And so Asia's finally getting back into the Asian Cup qualifying, you know, final round in this window. So I'm curious to see how this plays out. There are a lot of teams that are going to be in qualifying that just don't play that frequently. You know, you don't see that often. So I'm curious and interested to see a lot of these smaller nations from Asia that don't play very frequently. You've got, you know, looking at some of these groups, you know, Group A, Jordan, Kuwait, Indonesia, Nepal, like you don't see a lot of those teams play all that frequently. Jordan a little bit, you know, and going down some of these other groups, India, Hong Kong, Afghanistan, Cambodia, like there's going to be some interesting matches here. Have you looked at the schedule at all? Have you, you know, picked any teams you think are kind of dark horses yet, or are you kind of still trying to feel out the Asian Cup qualifying in the third round here?
Yeah, definitely still trying to get a better feel for this. Yeah. I confess the lower echelons of Asia are a dark alley for me right now. I haven't been able to turn the lights on there yet. So this will be a very, you know, this will be a good learning opportunity for me. And hopefully I can find a way to catch some of these games. Just from, I guess I'll call it prior knowledge, some things that I've kind of picked up as I've listened to other podcasts and other experts talk, in particular, Johnny Duerden. And I don't know if you're familiar with him or if our listeners are, but you know, he's an Asian expert, and hopefully we'll get to have him on the show one day. But yeah, as you mentioned Jordan from Group A, I've also heard him talk a little bit about, Mongolia as well. You know, I if I remember correctly, the last, I don't know if it was World Cup qualification round, this last round, or if it was a few years ago. But anyways, they, you know, they seem to make it further than a lot of people were expecting. And so I'm kind of curious about them.
Yeah. And just a quick note on them as well. Mm-hmm. So the way that they're, and I, with the schedule, should have explained a little bit more. So they've kind of shortened everything given the time frame. And so it's not a full round robin. It's going to be, you're not going to play each team home and away. The teams, they're broken into groups of four. They're only playing three matches and they're all going to be hosted at a neutral, well, at a site. And so in the group with Mongolia is actually the host in the group with Palestine, Philippines, and Yemen. So they're going to basically play three home matches. And if they, you know, the winners will qualify directly, and then five of the six best second place teams will also qualify. So it's very possible that they can finish second in a group of four, playing three matches at home and qualify for the Asian Cup.
Yeah, which would be a really cool story, right? Like, I don't honestly know the last time they qualified for a major tournament like that, but yeah, that would be, you know, that would be pretty cool to see that happen. So yeah, kind of interested in them. And also I would say Thailand and Uzbekistan, those are two teams that are both in Group C.
Yeah.
You know, Uzbekistan is a team that, you know, would typically be in the latter stages of World Cup qualification in Asia. And this time they didn't make it. So I don't know if they're in a rebuilding phase or what's going on there, but that's a storyline that kind of piques my curiosity. And then I've heard, you know, that Thailand is kind of an up and coming team in Asia. And so I'm interested to see, you know, what exactly the, you know, they're putting out there. So yeah, India from Group D, just because, you know, it's a massive country and you know, even though they're cricket crazy.
Yeah.
I do have an understanding that the game is growing there and, you know, there are efforts there to kind of grow the game. And so I'm kind of curious to see if they can do.
Yeah. That's going to be an interesting group, actually. I think that's all going to be all four of those teams, maybe with the exception of Cambodia, but India, Hong Kong, Afghanistan, Cambodia, I think they're all really close, and India is a team that is hosting. So like you said, I mean, I think they are, you know, football is certainly not number one, but I definitely think they could qualify here.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that's about it. I mean, from Group E, you know, Bahrain, Bangladesh, Malaysia, Turkmenistan, I don't know much about any of those, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. One team that we actually very much like is Bahrain. They're a team that we actually think is actually among the better Asian teams. In Asia, we've actually got, believe it or not, have them ranked higher than the UAE. And so they're a team that I think did not have the greatest previous round of qualifying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're, I think, a really good team that can, especially against that opposition, really do a lot of damage. I would expect out of all the teams, I think Uzbekistan's probably another one, but if I'm looking for, you know, and I guess, you know, Jordan's also up there, teams that are probably going to run away with the group, Bahrain for me is one team that I expect to just really, you know, not have much difficulty with any of the other teams in this group.
Interesting. Yeah. And then Group F with, we'll see if I don't mutilate this. Kyrgyzstan. Thank you. Myanmar, Singapore, and Tajikistan.
Yeah. So that another interesting one, which I think is always fun, just kind of thinking back to, you know, some of our earlier days talking about Asia and some of these tournaments. But I mean, Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, both, I would expect both of those two teams to qualify for the Asian Cup. I think they are clearly better than Myanmar and Singapore. I think Singapore could give them a little bit of trouble, but Kyrgyzstan's hosting, Tajikistan's a pretty solid team. I would expect both of those teams to qualify for the Asian Cup. And then we can try to find out more about them, even though it is quite difficult to do so.
There we go.
I think you're going to get a lot of stands. I think Kyrgyzstan's going to qualify, Tajikistan's going to qualify, Turkmenistan's going to qualify. You might get Afghanistan to qualify as well. And Uzbekistan to qualify. I think the stands go 5 for 5.
There we go.
That's my bold prediction.
Bring on the stands. Yes.
I think the stands go 5 for 5 in qualifying. And you know, that it's fun because once you get to the finals, you know, everybody wants to do more research. It's like, I can't find anything out about the Tajikistan national team. Like it's fun, but that is my bold prediction for the window. The stands go 5 for 5.
Wow. All right. We'll take it. I'm going with that. I'm going with what you're saying. I love it. That's good stuff right there. Is there a stand? We should make a stand account for all these stands, right?
Absolutely. We stand the stands.
That's right. There we go. Cool. Well, that's it for me for Asia and yeah. Asian co-qualifying. You and I think both wanted to touch briefly on kind of the two other things that are going on as well, right? So there's a UEFA Nations League, but then also CONCACAF Nations League. Yeah. And so let's start with CONCACAF. I don't know where you want to take it, but I am excited about this. Oh, and by the way, I did sneak a peek just now as well. Doesn't look like any of the Asian qualification is going to be on Paramount Plus if you're in the US. So I'm not sure.
This window is not looking good.
It's not looking good to start.
But yeah, I think the thing I just wanted to touch on the CONCACAF Nations League, because, you know, the Nations League is a relatively new concept. UEFA kind of kicked it off. CONCACAF followed suit. There's been talk of bringing it about in other confederations. And really the intent, you know, is to make more competitive friendlies, play competition that is close to yourself to try to grow. But you know, some of these confederations started weaving in the Nations League with other things, and CONCACAF is one that historically had, I would say, a messy qualifying process to the Gold Cup. I don't think it was the greatest process. The USA, Canada, Mexico were getting automatic qualification.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that worked well. And this CONCACAF Nations League now is doubling as Gold Cup qualification. And so when you look at the teams and how the Gold Cup's set up, there's 16 teams at the Gold Cup. 12 of those teams are going to qualify directly just via this CONCACAF Nations League that's going to take place. And so it is tremendously, tremendously important to, you know, play well and make sure that you can qualify directly, because this is it. This is Gold Cup qualification. The teams in League A have a tremendous advantage because the top two teams from each group will qualify directly to the Gold Cup. And then the winners in each group in Group B will qualify directly to the Gold Cup. So 12 teams are going to come out of this and qualify directly. So these are tremendously important matches for everyone. And, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing, you know, who can qualify. You know, Grenada's won when you look at the teams that, won League B the last time. You know, Grenada's a team that won their group. They got promoted to League A. They qualified directly for the Gold Cup. League A is fun because you can determine the winner, but I think League B is really one where, it's tremendously important, and teams are going to really be focused on winning their groups, especially in League B.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. For those of you who are interested in learning more about this, there's a really good podcast that is called The World of CONCACAF, I believe. Those guys, they actually just came out with their preview show for this. I'm in the process of listening to it right now. They're breaking down every single group, talking about a lot of the teams. Something they didn't mention and that's because it just happened, I think, yesterday, but I found it very interesting, is that former U.S. international Rubio Rubin just switched his nationality to play for Guatemala.
Oh, I did not know that.
So that'll be interesting for them. Guatemala is kind of a nation that I think we expected more from, but they haven't delivered. I think there's been some behind the scenes issues there as well.
They had so many issues that CONCACAF penalized them.
Yep.
And like move them down in rankings and qualifying and all kinds of stuff.
Correct.
And it didn't really hurt them. It hurt the teams that they played because they're just so much better than the teams that they were
playing. Exactly. Yeah. Guatemala is, so they're in League B, and to be honest, they're probably a team that is right in that cusp, right? They should probably be in League A. And if they're in League A, they're probably going to be, I mean, obviously it depends on the group, but I would say, lower tier, but they do kind of deserve to be in that top tier, but they've had to work their way up. You know, there's promotion relegation through all these different leagues in CONCACAF, just like there is in UEFA. And so, I think it's going to be between them and the Dominican Republic for Group D in League B, in my opinion. But they're one of the teams that I will have my eye on during this break for sure.
So. I would be, if they don't win this group going away, I would be shocked. I think that they are, and I apologize, you know, we have a lot of Dominican Republic fans. I think Guatemala is a higher class in than the other three teams in this group. You know, you look at the top, you look at Group A, period, or League A, I apologize. League A is 12 teams in CONCACAF. I think you will not find anybody that says Guatemala is outside the top 12 teams in CONCACAF.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they are working their way back. And again, right, just to my comment before, you're hurting these other teams, right? It's not doing French Guiana and Belize, Dominican Republic any good to get beaten by Guatemala, where, you know, only the top team advances. That's not helping.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And surely they're better than, you know, like a Suriname or,
yeah,
you
know. Yeah. So that's one that I think, you know, and you look at some of these other teams too. I don't know. I kind of think CONCACAF needs to reconsider how they're structuring these leagues, because with the promotion and relegation, because like Grenada's in League A, Haiti, Guatemala, Trinidad, and Cuba are in League B, and, you know, Martinique is in Group in League A, Suriname is in League A. They're not bad teams. It just feels misaligned. So I don't know. I don't, you know, again, I think Cuba is not up in the top 12. I think, you know, that's probably one of the more competitive groups in League B is Cuba, Guadeloupe, Antigua, and Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be an interesting group. I think Barbados is not bad. They got promoted. I think they're going to be competitive. Guadeloupe's pretty good. You know, Antigua's pretty good. I think that's going to be a competitive group. Haiti in League B is ridiculous. They're an outstanding team. They don't get enough respect. I mean, they're, you know, right on the border of making it to the octagonal. You know, the Bermuda, Guyana, Montserrat, you know, good teams. Like, they're not bad teams. They're okay. And I think they're probably well positioned in League B. I don't know. The relegation thing, it's kind of like, I think the teams that I would not be surprised if all the teams that got relegated to League B get promoted back to League A, and all the teams got promoted to League A get relegated back to League B.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. It seems like maybe there is a bit of imbalance in terms of how many teams are in each league. Maybe you go, because UEFA modified this, and, you know, we'll just get kind of touch on UEFA shortly, you know, for a bit. UEFA modified it. Initially, it was kind of structured the same way as CONCACAF, where they had like these three team groups in League A, and then you had this big League B, this big League C, this big League D. They went through the promotion and relegation. I think like Germany got relegated to League B. And then they're like, we're just going to change the structure. So that doesn't happen. So they stayed. And not only did everybody who was in League A stay, they also added more teams from League B. And then they added more teams and, you know, moved up. So I think CONCACAF needs to maybe reconsider it a little bit. There aren't as many teams in CONCACAF, right? There's only, you know, roughly 12, 28. You know, roughly 40 teams, where UEFA's got, you know, over 50. So, you know, having the three leagues is better, but it does feel like there's some imbalance where you have these three team groups, these strong teams that are getting relegated to League B. And now it just seems a little bit imbalanced. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how it goes. I think, you know, it's exciting for a team like Grenada to be in the League A, a team like Suriname to be in a League A. But I'm going to be more, you know, I think paying attention to kind of how it's shaking out for the Gold Cup than, you know, who's ultimately going to win the Nations League, I think.
Sure. Yeah. So in essence, you're basically saying that instead of League A having three teams, you want them to have four as well.
Yeah, maybe bulk that up a little bit, or, you know, maybe think about, instead of four groups in each league, maybe do three groups in each league with, you know, four teams each or something like that.
Sure.
So, you know, you're only relegating three out of the top 12 and they're going to be last in the group of four. I think it's a bit imbalanced the way that it's structured currently.
Yeah.
Cause like I said, I think, you know, I made one bold prediction on the stands, my other prediction, which, you know, we won't get to see until next March when it's all settled. But I think that the four teams that got promoted to League A all get relegated. And I think the four teams that got relegated to League A all get promoted back.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree. Although I do think there is something to the Dominican Republic. So while I do think, you know, I think Guatemala is going to go up.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, we need to keep our eyes on Dominican Republic because they're a team that is on the right track.
I would like to see more from them. I agree. They're a team that I like. And I think they've kind of fallen a little short of our expectations thus far, but I agree. They're definitely a team for me that I would like to see a little bit more from throughout this qualifying.
And fortunately for us, these are going to be available.
I know.
This window on Paramount
Plus. Might be watching nothing but CONCACAF this window.
That's right. Hopefully not. We'll find a way.
That's okay. It's, you know, they have the game spread out. And I actually like, honestly, watching CONCACAF Nations League, I think it's really cool because you have every single CONCACAF nation playing home matches and you've got live broadcasts from everywhere. You know, not everybody necessarily will play at home. Like some teams seek out neutral venues, but you look through League C and I love watching some of these venues and, you know, seeing CONCACAF in all these different countries. I enjoy really watching the CONCACAF Nations League.
Yep. Same. Okay. Let's hop over to UEFA. What would you like to say here?
So, I mean, it's a fun tournament.
Yes. Absolutely.
Like I said, I think it's interesting. I think, you know, since they reorganized it a bit and, you know, you have that kind of, you can see that the teams progressing to, you know, get to that, you know, second chance for Euro qualifying as well. I think it makes the Nations League mean a little bit more. Like I think in CONCACAF, it doesn't mean as much because it's doubling as Gold Cup qualification. That's arguably the more important thing. And eventually, you know, yes, they'll play the semifinals and finals, but I think the matches in League A mean more. I think, you know, you've got this tournament and you've got 16 great teams. I think that's one of the things that's really cool about the UEFA Nations League is that you don't know who's going to win. Like, I think you look at CONCACAF and you've got, right, your USA, Mexico, Canada, I think, are probably, you know, everyone's picking. UEFA Nations League can go any way. You've got Spain and Portugal and Switzerland in a group together. You've got Italy, Germany, and England in a group together. You've got Belgium, Netherlands, Poland, Wales in a group together. Like, it could go any way. And I think it makes
insane.
I think it makes for a more exciting, you know, finals. And you think it's like, you know, for some of these teams, people are kind of anti-Euro expanding to 24 teams. You've got a 16-team tournament right here with arguably the 16 best UEFA teams. And I think that's it's fun. It makes for, you know, some exciting matches. I think teams don't take it too seriously also. Like, they're going to try, obviously, but I don't think teams take it overly serious. And so I think that makes for, you know, teams that, you know, bring new players in, try out different things. So I think they're fun matches. I think the teams care. I don't think they take it too seriously, but definitely curious to see what happens in League A and, you know, how that shakes out. Just one additional thing I wanted to add. So Ukraine and Scotland are actually in the same group.
I know. I just saw that.
League B. Yeah. So they play each other in June, they play each other in September, and then they play each other in September. So, you know, those two teams are going to see a lot of each other. But I think for me, League A is much more exciting in the UEFA Nations League than it is in the CONCACAF Nations League. it's tough to really kind of look at a League C, a League D, and get too excited about it.
Yeah.
I will say though, again, just coming back to the Euro thing, teams that win their group get a second chance to qualify for Euros, no matter what league you're in. So if you're League A, B, C, it doesn't matter. You know, you get a chance to another chance to qualify for the Euro playoff. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. They're changing it up a little bit. Last time the winner from League D got in, this time that's not going to happen with them kind of reconfiguring it, but you know, something to play for there. But I definitely, you know, I'm not as excited about the lower leagues relative to CONCACAF.
I am. I'll watch anything. No, it's good. Cool. Well, I think that's a wrap.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot going on this month.
There's a lot going on.
Every corner of the globe.
Yes. Maybe we'll just mention this briefly kind of in closing, right? You got some South American teams that are over in Asia, playing some, you know, fairly, I would call them high profile matches, right? So Brazil's playing South Korea and Japan. They're over there. I think you said in Seoul and then in Tokyo.
Yep.
Paraguay is also over there. Chile is also over there. So they're all playing friendlies against each other with Japan and South Korea. So yeah. And then of course, you know, I'm actually going to be at the US Morocco game tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. Very excited to see this Morocco team in person. And then Morocco will then hop across the pond back over to Africa for their qualification game for AFCON, which we both found interesting. But
you don't see USA play African nations too frequently. So
right.
You know, getting Morocco to come to Ohio is pretty cool.
That's right. Yep. And Uruguay is also here in the States. So yeah, you know, some decent matchups. I think Canada is playing Iran. I think that game is still going on. I thought I maybe heard a rumor that it got canceled or something, but I'm not 100% sure. And then who's the other team Canada's playing? Is it Ecuador? No, Ecuador's here because they're playing in your backyard.
Yes, they are. They're playing Nigeria.
They're playing Nigeria.
At Red Bull Arena.
Oh, that's right. Canada's playing Nigeria, I think.
Okay.
But anyways, so yeah, some good friendlies as well to catch also. So yeah, it's going to be a really good window. So big thanks to everybody for listening. You can follow us on Twitter. We'll be pretty active this window. That's the goal. Both Brandon and I are pretty busy. Yeah. That's why this has been on major delay, but we're going to try to, you know, keep the tweets coming so you can follow.
We'll be out there on Twitter for sure.
Excuse me. There you go. You can follow Brandon at @we_global and you can follow the pod account. I always forget. It's at
Window INTL pod.
There we go. Window International pod. Window INTL pod. Yes, that's right. And yeah, we hope you enjoy it. And yeah, thanks everyone for listening.